This is KPBS Midday Edition. I'm Maureen Cavanaugh. The long Memorial Day weekend is coming up, and ceremonies both local and national will honor America's fallen military heroes. But family members of those killed in America's wars should be remembered, too. The spouses of fallen military members have to cope with death at a time when most couples are just planning their lives. And their families are often left with very young children who grow up without a parent. Today, I'm joined by a woman whose story of love and loss was played out in national headlines. Taya Kyle is the widow of U.S. Navy SEAL Chris Kyle, who's known for his book, American Sniper. Taya's new book is called American Wife, a memoir of love, war, faith, and renewal. Taya, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm also joined by Dr. Karen Schoenfeld-Smith. She's a psychologist with the San Diego Veterans Center. And Karen, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
You know, Taya, I think many people are aware of the tragic death of your husband, Chris, after his years of service in the military. But let me first ask you about when Chris was serving in Iraq as a Navy SEAL. What was it like for you and the kids? Chris was injured several times overseas.
Right. Not enough to the point where he stayed out of the fight. And it was different every deployment. I think that's something that some people don't expect. But if you've lived through it, you know it is different because you have different phases of your life. Your children are different ages, or you're more accustomed to it, or they're going to a new area. It's just always different.
So did you and Chris ever talk about the possibility that he would not be coming home from one of these deployments?
Often, yes.
And what were those conversations like?
You know, for him, being a warrior, and I think a lot of warriors feel this way, that if he were to die on the battlefield, that would be an honor. You know, that's, you know, a way to go if you're going to go. And for me, of course, you know, it's hard to not interpret that differently or think, well, are you taking chances then? But, you know, as I talk about an American wife, he assured me he wasn't taking any chances. But I think you have to be willing to accept that. If you're going to go into battle, you have to be fearless. And so there's a part of you that has to accept that possibility. And it's easier if you think there's some honor in that versus anything else that would make you more fearful.
How do you accept that? How do you accept that explanation?
Well, I do understand it in a way. I do. But obviously, when it's somebody you love, it's your worst nightmare that anything will ever happen to them. And it's a matter of compartmentalizing, I think, and being compassionate and understanding for that mentality and trying to figure out how you voice your own opinions and how you tell somebody else your fears without distracting them from the battle or without being a nagging wife who doesn't understand and who doesn't support. I think that from my experience talking to other first responder wives and veteran wives, that there's a part of you that feels almost unpatriotic, or you feel guilty or ashamed that you can't just embrace it and be on that same page. That's what you want with your spouse. You want to be supportive and lifting them up for whatever they want to do, and it becomes challenging.
Karen, do you find that military couples do talk about that possibility when a spouse is sent into a theater of war, or do they avoid the subject?
I think that they do talk about it. I also think that there is some level of avoidance and some hope that it's a administrative practice that's a requirement prior to a deployment, and they hope it doesn't happen to them. So there is some discussion. I think it varies quite a bit depending on the family.
On the family itself. Now, your memories, Taya, make up a big part, actually, of Chris Kyle's memoir, American Sniper. The book is about his service, his record as the most deadly sniper in U.S. history. But why did you both think that the family's story was important to include in that book?
Well, you know, and I talk about that a little bit in American Wife, too, that I wasn't so sure that it was important or valid. And I think that you also get in the habit almost as a spouse of keeping quiet about your side of things or trying not to make as much of a fuss about it. And, you know, it was really Jim DeFelice and Chris who felt like it was important to add that element because it was a big part of Chris's story. I don't think he could tell his story completely without showing the dynamic of feeling like he had two places to serve. One was at home and one was the battlefield. So I give a lot of credit to both Chris and Jim for recognizing that.
Now, in American Wife, your memoir, Taya, you write about the last time that you and Chris were together, right before he was about to go out to meet the man that turned out to be his killer. Did you have any concerns about his safety at that time?
You know, I had a moment, not anything that was tangible enough to say anything or do anything, but I also was very accustomed to tucking the fear away. And so it was a bit of an unknown, but it was also something that he had done so many times before. And so I've looked back and I've tried to remember, did I have any kind of a bad gut feeling? Nothing overwhelming. Did I have a moment where I paused? Yeah, probably, but not to the point that I actually thought there would be harm. I think it's just the awareness that life is unpredictable and that this guy has trouble. And I don't even know, honestly, if it was that I was worried about Chris or Chad, or if I just thought it's a stressful situation to go into where somebody's mother is crying and asking you to help them is different than the hundreds and thousands of times before that he did it. Maybe thousands, maybe it was just hundreds, but with somebody who's having a hard time, but they're coming there on their own to get help. Something just was a little different.
Now, in your book, you write about telling your kids about Chris's death, and you're going to read a little segment from your book, American Wife, for us.
Okay. Yep, I will. Bubba sat on my right knee, an angel on my left. I took a deep breath. I was already crying. Daddy's hurt, I told them. They looked at me. I closed my eyes. Is he dead? Blurted Angel. I opened my eyes and nodded. Yes. She let out a cry that came from her gut. Bubba's eyes glassed over and tears poured out. I held them both close. I'm so sorry, guys. I'm so sorry. We stayed there for minutes or hours. Finally, Bubba asked if we could go inside. Yes, I told him. Inside, everyone had given us space. The living room was empty. We sat on the couch, and I told them what had happened. Daddy was helping someone, I said. There was something really, really wrong with that person and his brain. He shot and killed Daddy and Mr. Chad.
Thank you. Thank you, Taya Kaya. That was emotional for you. I appreciate your reading from your book for us. Thank you.
Yeah, it's okay. Thank you.
Now, Karen, even though Chris Kyle died after his time in the service, this must be very similar to what military families go through when informed of the death of a service member.
Absolutely. There's a big difference between death that you anticipate coming because somebody is ill, and the traumatic loss that comes from something like this, somebody being shot when you're not expecting it, from combat, from a traffic accident, or even sometimes sudden cardiac arrest. So it's a very difficult way to get the news. It's shocking, and it puts your life on hold and puts you on an emotional roller coaster.
What kinds of counseling does the VA offer to spouses and families who are going through this nightmare?
The Readjustment Counseling Service, also known as Vet Centers, provides service to family members who've lost somebody on active duty, whether it's in the war zone or stateside. And the Vet Centers are located in 300 locations across the nation, including some of our outlying areas. There's three Vet Centers in San Diego, one in Point Loma, one in Chula Vista, and one in San Marcos. And we, when we get a notification that we are being asked to provide some bereavement counseling, we stop what we're doing and we make contact. And there's no wait for those services. They're available to spouses. They're available to the boyfriend, girlfriend, children, parents, siblings. There's no charge for the services. And we have extended hours, and we can see the family in their home or in our office, whatever works best for them.
Tell you, how did Chris's military friends help you and your kids face his loss?
You know, there's something with the brotherhood that I've never seen before. And even if you hear about it, it's just different, I guess, in person. And I know Chris did that for some of his friends. He spent the time with their wives and families. But they truly drop everything and they come in and they stay with you. And the SEAL teams anyway assign a couple of men on active duty who knew the person, the deceased person, very well. And they're there to just take care of you, to be there for whatever you need, and to basically stand by your side in their friend's place.
Now, just from your reading of that small section of your book, American Wife, it seems like it must have been a really difficult book to write. Was it?
Yeah, it was very hard. In some ways, I think it forced me to deal with things that I would have liked to have put off dealing with for a while. But I also wrote it with Jim DeFelice, who wrote American Sniper, and I knew that he loved Chris and me, and our families are close. And so in that way, it was very nice because I could come to the table with whatever I felt on any given day. And I give Jim so much credit for being able to organize basically me emotionally vomiting for months on end and organizing it into a way that actually makes sense to readers. And I think that, you know, the passage in particular that I was asked to read today, it's more emotional because obviously your children, you are their protector and you're the one, you want to save them from anything harmful, let alone something that's going to change their entire life. And that to me is still one of the most emotional parts of our life together.
So since it was so raw for you, since it was still so much of a sort of an undigested experience for you and your family, why did you want to write this book?
Well, there were a few reasons. One was American Sniper, the book, and American Sniper, the movie. We got so much feedback, both when Chris was alive and after he was killed, that there were couples from different wars, different eras, who were finding great healing in knowing that they weren't alone. I have stories of couples from Vietnam who, after they saw the movie, started a dialogue that they hadn't had in the last 30 years. And a lot of that reason, from what we hear from other people, is that it lets them be less ashamed or protective of whatever it is they were going through, because they now know they're not alone. It's okay to talk about it. So that was a main reason why I wanted to write American Wife. And the other thing was that, you know, there was a side to Chris that a lot of people didn't know. And I know there are a lot of people that loved him, but there was more to him. And I feel like it's always been everybody's story, not just our story. And there are first responder men and veteran men and women who are serving this country. And there's a misconception in some ways that these people love to fight, or that they're just this cold warrior or something like that. Whereas I see it much differently. I see it as people who have huge hearts, who are willing to take on things that most of us wouldn't, for a whole lot less money than most of us would take it on for. And it's their heart that allows them to serve. And that heart doesn't just shut off when it comes home. It's there for the family as well. And then things change as they go through the evil and the process and all of the things that they have to face. So that was the other reason.
You know, the pain doesn't stop, Karen. Just last week, we learned that one of the Camp Pendleton Marines killed in the helicopter accident in Nepal left behind a wife who's pregnant and his young daughter. How do you begin helping a family like that get over such a loss?
You give them a lot of time and space to be where they are with their experiences. Oftentimes, people feel very judgmental about their own emotions as they go through the process of grieving. Sometimes people, when they have moments of feeling happy, which we hope eventually they have a lot of them through the grief process, sometimes people are very judgmental about having forgotten the person that is no longer a part of their life. Or is, but won't be creating new memories. So people sometimes are judging themselves harshly. So providing them feedback about what kinds of things are normal to feel through grief and the full range of those emotions. Part of trauma healing is also recognizing the reality of what happened, accepting that that reality happened in their life, and creating a life after the tragedy.
Well, I want to thank you both. Thank you so much, Dr. Karen Schoenfield-Smith. And Taya Kyle, you've shared a lot with us today. I really do appreciate it. Your memoir is called American Wife, a memoir of love, war, faith, and renewal. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.